everybody. Welcome to Story Nerds. I'm Jessica Kate, and today Hannah Davis isn't able to join us today, my regular co-host, but we have a special guest co-host. Rachel Scott McDaniel is here to chat with us. Welcome, Rachel.
Hey there. I am so thrilled for this opportunity. I love this podcast. This is my favorite podcast featuring all my favorite people.
To hear that. That's super awesome. So we are here to chat because Rachel has a book coming out soon, and it is about a female journalist back in the day working in the man's world and doing all those adventurous things. And so we wanted to chat today about female journalists in fiction because there's so many great ones to choose from. But first, I want to hear a little bit from you, Rachel, about your book and what you write and who you are.
Okay. So I write historical romance and Christian fiction, and my era, like my favorite time frame to write in, is in the Roaring Twenties, which, like, when the ball drops in Times Square, it's gonna be 2020, which is like 100 years. So I can't believe that. So that is my favorite. I love the era. I love the fashion. I love the culture. I love the music. And so my story is actually a romance that is. Has elements of suspense in it and mystery. And it is about, I'm going to read the blurb because I got real nervous. So I'm going to put it on here.
That's a great idea. I think we should read blurbs.
Well, I knew my tongue would get tangled and it's awful. Anyways, so it's set in 1922 Pittsburgh, and it's a newspaper publisher's daughter and a high profile journalist, and they compete against each other to land their article above the fold. But the stakes turn higher than nabbing the coveted headline, and hunting the scoop of the decade positions them as prey to an unknown enemy. And my story is called Above the Fold. It is a newspaper term because that is the best real estate on the newspaper because it's above the fold. So yeah, and I'm a mama of two. I homeschool one, and she's special needs. And so we just love her to pieces. And I've been writing for about 7 years, and this is my debut.
Woohoo! Very exciting. Awesome to hear that. And what would you like to kick us off with today for our topic?
Okay, so there's so many good female journalists in Christian fiction, even across the board in general market as well. But I'm going to stick with Christian fiction because that's where mine is. And so I'm going to talk about one historical romance, Regina Jennings, for the record, Betsy Huckabee. And she is just a quirky, spunky female who works for her uncle's paper in the Ozarks. And Hunky Joel comes from Texas with all his Southern drawl. And she wants to, her dream is to write in the Kansas City paper. And so she follows him around, and she makes almost like this elaborate exaggeration of him. And she submits this story because they put fiction in the newspapers and with the running tale. And she she gets printed, and it gets printed of the hero, with him being this star knight on the white horse kind of thing. And so she's spunky. She's imaginative, and she's just like, I love that story. It's my favorite Regina Jennings story.
Oh, that's awesome. So what happens? Does the guy figure out that it's based on him?
Well, you have to read to find out, but in a way, yes. And can we talk kissing? Because that is one of the best kissing scenes ever.
We can talk kissing. Okay. Heck yes.
I love it. It's my favorite. It's a couple years older, but it is. I'm not much of a rereader because I don't really have much time to read. But I've read this one at least three times. It's that much fun, and I just love the characterization of both. Their personalities clash, and I love that. And
I love that. Love hate just a bit.
Yes, he's like real strict, straight laced, all about the rules, and she's like whatever. So it's fun.
That sounds super fun. And what was the title of that one again?
For the Record by Regina Jennings.
For the Record. That's right. That sounds awesome. If Hannah was here, she would be bright red because she hates talking about kissing scenes. But I wrote like five of them into my last book. So.
Really? Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I have two couples, not just one. So, oh, I got extras.
Nice.
So awesome. Well, my favorite female journalist, I had to go through the list. This was a super fun podcast episode to research because I got to Google. I knew a heap off the top of my head, but I was like, I know I'm going to miss some. So I Googled best female journalists in fiction, and there's so many great ones. And I'm going to just rattle through a list here of some examples, but then I'm going to talk about my favorite. So you've got April in Ninja Turtles. That was one I forgot about that I was like, yes!
Oh, how could you ever forget about her? Amazing.
Kate Hudson in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. The Mary Tyler Moore Show. Now, I hear people talk about this all the time, especially Hannah, because I think it has a Minnesota connection. But I never actually knew what it was about. And then I really went on doing this and like, oh, it's about a journalist. That's cool. Now I'm interested in it. So that's awesome. Because Hannah and I, well, I used to be a journalist. Hannah is one. Do you have a journalism connection yourself, Rachel? Or do you just find it really interesting?
No. The only reason why I found it is because my husband's grandpa, he dedicated to his life to working in the press. And
That's cool.
Yeah, so that was my connection. He was so zealous about it. I'm like, well, what's all into it? And so then I just kind of got into the research and just went off from there.
That's super awesome. Some others are The Devil Wears Prada. That was like a bit of a bad guy flip into it.
Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway, there we go. His Girl Friday, which I know we're going to chat about a little bit more later. Murphy Brown, Bridget Jones, Never Been Kissed.
I forgot about that one. That was a good one.
Now looking back, I'm like, they thought she was a schoolgirl. I don't know.
that part's a little questionable. The ending is great, but then when you look back on it and when you're older, you're like,
no. And 13 Going on 30 was about journalism as well. But the one I want to talk about first is The Newsroom. I love that TV show. I'm going to cover the TV/movie side of this today while Rachel covers our book and Christian fiction side. The Newsroom is an Aaron Sorkin show. And if you've ever listened to the podcast, you know Hannah and I are huge fans of Aaron Sorkin, especially his TV shows. And The Newsroom is awesome. It is about Mackenzie McHale is in this show along with Jeff Daniels' character, Will McAvoy. And he is the news anchor of this, I think it's the second highest rated news show in the country. And he's the star of it, but he has sort of become the star by fence sitting and not really taking a position on anything. And he and Mac, they call Mackenzie Mac, used to date years ago, and then something happened, and you don't know what it is at first, but it did not end well. But Will really needs, Charlie is the guy who runs the news station, and he really wants to light a fire under Will. He knows that Will used to be a lawyer and that he can really take a stand and push for what he knows is right, but he's doing this real, like, wimpy reporting. And so Charlie hires Mac to be the producer on the show because he knows that Mac is the only person who can really push Will to be the best that he can be. But what I find so interesting, and so they just clash so great. It's, if you like love-hate, then this is just fantastic because they aren't the only love-hate couple. There's like three love-hate couples in this show, and you just get to bounce between all their storylines. It is super fun. And you get to, and I like it because you're like, you learn stuff. Because this was made in, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, something like that. A time in my life when I was an adult and I did watch the news, but I don't remember a lot of this stuff happening. So I'm kind of learning about things that I didn't know so much about. And Will and Max fighting is fantastic. And there's a real depth to the characters because the breakup was Mackenzie's fault. She did something really terrible. And so even though she, in a lot of the situations of the show, she's the one who's right. She's pushing Will to do better, be better. And they really fight over that. He has the moral high ground in their relationship problems, and that makes it really interesting. And you know that Mackenzie has a side that doesn't always do the right thing, and that in that case, you know, in the first time around in their relationship, Will really loved her and was really dedicated, and that's why the depth of his hurt is so much now. And it makes for really interesting characters and great conflict, and they have a lot of dirt on each other. Like, one of my favorite episodes they're both super annoyed at each other, so they just start telling stories to the newsroom of, did you know that they did blah blah in their childhood? And super hilarious, and I love it. And they're both super passionate too, especially Mackenzie. She could argue you into doing anything, because she just, anything that she's saying, you like, she believes in this so much that she would like die for it right now. She's so passionate about all the things that she argues with Will about. So that makes her one of my, well, she's probably the top female journalist in fiction. She also does hilarious things too, because it's a TV show and not real life. She can get away with things. If she's annoyed at Will, at one point there's like this bar that they all hang out at, because they finish their news show at like 11 at night or something, and it's the only place that stays open. So they all go around there to eat after the show, and he's sitting there talking to Charlie, and she just walks up, grabs his drink, tips it in his lap, and sits down. And he's like, use your words! And that cracks me up. Like, you can do that in real life, but it's so funny when she does it. Oh, man, I love it. So, Rachel, do you want to tell me about another one of yours?
Okay, I'm going to pick a current one, as in like 3 weeks ago, from our pal, Natalie Walters. She just came out. She just came out with a new one called Deadly Deceit, and we get to see Vivian DeMarco in, she takes center stage. Now, I'm going to be honest, I did not like her in Living Lies. She was a side character that was kind of like, I don't know, she rubbed me the wrong way, but I think she was meant to. And yep. So you get the total redemption in Deadly Deceit, and you get to scratch beneath the surface of why she irked me. And it starts off with her being a journalist in a small town of Walton, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And she has she has dreams of going somewhere else. She doesn't like small towns. She wants to be part of a bigger, but it's only because she wants to prove herself. So, so she, starts working, and her editor dies. Ooh. Under mysterious circumstances.
Ooh.
So now she has the scoop laid in her lap. And the hero, Deputy Ryan Frost, in the first book.
Great name.
He was puny and nerdy. And then he goes to Quantico, Virginia, in FBI training. And he comes back, and this is actually in the book. She says he left as Steve Rogers and came back as Captain America.
That's what I was thinking of.
I was like, yes. So there's a whole bunch. She actually, that's his reference. She calls him Captain America, and there's a whole bunch of
you have got me now.
Yes. The banter is back and forth, and so he is still nerdy. You know, he's like Hulk. You know, and fleshed out and stuff, God. But
he has
the geekiness to him, and like he does the robot dance moves and just
sweet nerds, so man, they're just best. I love them.
Yes. So anyways, he has the protective edge, and I love the protective heroes. So she gets herself in trouble all the time because she is she's a journalist, and she goes in fact, one of her lines is when he tells her to you know, to stay back, and she's like, I'm a journalist, it's what I do. And so he is kind of like her bodyguard while she's and they're working together. And so which is fun, because he said, you're gonna do it anyways, so I might as well be in the know, so so I can help keep you safe. And so they work together on this mystery, and it kind of things start unfolding and things get more dangerous. She finds herself in the hospital because there was a fire, and he, you know, the whole break down the door thing gets her.
I love break down the door thing.
So he is, they both have like the insecurities. They both have insecurities from their fathers. And about it's I love how she brings that out about how we are raised, the environment that we were raised in really ends up being the filter that we see our everyday life. And so Vivian, she wants to prove herself because I won't make it a spoiler, but her father just did her wrong. And And so she is out to prove herself that she can make it and that she is enough. And Ryan's father, he also did him wrong. And so they both are juggling this insecurity while trying to have a relationship while in the middle of a suspenseful mystery with people trying to kill them. And so it is just, it was beautiful. I actually, I read Living Lies and obviously I read this one and I like her writing, this level just keeps going up and up and up. So I really am looking forward even to the next one. I really liked Vivian. I told at the end, I was like rooting for her all the way through. And I'm like, at the end, I was like, man, she redeemed herself. I like her now. We can be, we're cool now. We weren't cool before.
So, that's great. And
it is awesome. I loved all the pulp culture references. She obviously, ooh, she mentioned a lot of Captain America, a lot of Tony Stark, just a whole bunch of Marvel characters there. And she actually showed her nerdy side too. So they were kind of like made for each other in their and their love for Marvels and geekiness. So it was fun.
That sounds fantastic. That's awesome. And Natalie is a friend of mine, so I'm going to have her on the podcast sometime soon, and we can chat about Captain America some more.
She's fun. She's such a fun person.
She's awesome. Well, speaking about superheroes, that leads me to my second one. I couldn't go past Lois Lane, particularly the Amy Adams version in the most recent DC movies. I really liked her. Yeah, she was great. I guess I had a slight concern going into Man of Steel and then Batman versus Superman about... and the other ones as well. She also appears in the Justice League one about her being a damsel in distress and bloody, bloody, blah, that sort of thing. But I think those movies did a really good job because she is such an incredibly capable journalist. Like, she is really breaking new ground in her field, and you get the feeling that she is going to have, like, a long career and just be doing awesome stuff. She's the one who will be, like, breaking the stories that change a decade. And the way that she pushes for stuff and really rides the line of what's acceptable with her editor, like, she's she's really willing to put her job on the line and do what she believes in, and she's really good at it. And and so there are occasions when Superman does rescue her, but there are other times when, you know, she does quite a bit herself, and she's so good at her job. She's certainly, like, his journalism barely comes into the storyline in those movies, and I think she's much better than him at it. Like, all you see him doing is, like, covering parties and stuff, and you're kind of like, yeah, like, he's probably fine at it, but if you put them head-to-head, she'd whip his butt. So I like that they gave her own superpower, basically. Like, yes, he can do this other cool stuff, and that's awesome, but she has her own thing, and she's fantastic at it, and she uses it. You know, she really drives the plot forward. She's really proactive. She does stuff with her journalism, and she does stuff for him that he would be less without her. And I think other versions of it maybe haven't done that as much. It's been very unbalanced, and she's the one just getting everything. But that's what they flipped in this one. It became a much more equal partnership, and perfect. It was really fun to watch. And Amy Adams did a great job with it too. Like, I totally believed her. And even though she was really tough, she wasn't hard either. Like, she had a great deal of empathy, and it was really great. I really like her relationship with Superman's mom, and yeah, it was cool. She was awesome.
Awesome. I love it when they show the grit of the female heroine. But I love, like, how even, like, the intelligence part, because even in like the ones in the very past, they make her look airheadish and like, you know, especially whenever he comes in as Superman, but then comes in as Clark Kent, and then you're like, and like, there's only difference is the glasses, and you're like, come on.
come on, love. What kind of investigative journalist are you?
Exactly.
Oh, man, I used to hate that about, I enjoyed some aspects of the show Arrow, but the fact, especially early on, that, like, at the start, he didn't even have a mask. It was just, like, grease paint around his eyes, and that's all. I'm like, how dumb are you?
Exactly.
That's the truth. Crazy. But yes, that was great. And I think that was a problem that they got around with, because there is never a point in the new DC version where she doesn't know like where she knows both sides of him and is unaware of the flip. Like there's a point where he rescues her, but he's not Superman yet. And then she tracks him down and tracks down his real identity. So she always knows, especially from, you know, from before he starts working at the paper. So yeah, I am glad. I never really thought about that, but yes, thank goodness they changed that in the new version.
Because it's such a flaw.
It does not fly.
Yes.
Oh man, yeah, that's awesome. And now I know you had another one that you wanted to chat about before we chat about your book.
Ah, His Girl Friday. That one. Is that the one you want to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. I just want to make sure I was on the same page. Yes, now that one is actually a little bit of the inspiration for where I even got my story because it's one of my favorite movies. I love the banter between between the two characters, Walter, you know, whenever he goes to Hildy and they're talking about their divorce and they're talking at it in such a lightweight, you know, a divorce is such a heavy thing. And I talk about it, he's like, remember my dimple, you know, it's just, and he's like, by the way, I still have that dimple. You know, it's just the way that he, it's just the Cary Grant charm. Mm-hmm. You know, and like all in the banter of, and it's all in the newsroom. So it's just that fun environment, but there's also like the seriousness of the lead of the getting the scoop on, you know, I won't spoil the movie, but there's a major thing that's going on and he knows, Walter knows that Hildy has the what it takes to get the story and not even to get the story, but to craft it. And he just, in a way that would influence the people and, he's trying to get her back into the newsroom, but he's really trying to get winter back. And
yes, because she's going to quit, isn't she?
Yeah. She already quit. She came back because there was, certain circumstances she needed to come back and she was actually getting married and the fiance was there. So she brought the fiance. So it's like the hilarity of the 1930s screwball thing. And, and so, she even like warns her fiance, she's like, don't talk to him. Do not even like go near him because she knows what Walter is capable of. She knows his power of persuasion and her fiance actually likes Walter. And but the entire time she's chasing the scoop and she's actually writing it. And she's actually proven herself because even in the 1930s, it was still more male dominant as well. In that field. And so it was really nice for them to focus and say, hey, you know, the females they got it. And, and so, but the whole, what stuck out to me the most in even James Scott Bell, when he was writing his dialogue book, he mentions that movie, he references that movie because it just has such witty dialogue and it's very engaging. They're sitting there talking and she's sitting on the desk and, you know, he's there and all they're just doing is talking back and forth. And you're just like, glued to the screen because just their engaging dialogue. And so, and then plus it's Cary Grant. So that's always a plus too. She's like the picture of the female journalist. You know, she has the grit. She has the spunk. She's not timid. She goes and talks to the person with the lead that they have. He's facing the death sentence, and she is trying to formulate a plan and get all the information so she can craft the article to sway the people because this guy's gonna die. And so, even the way she interacts with him, you know, and she, like you said about Lois Lane having that empathy, you know, because clearly the guy wasn't all there. And she knew people. She knew her job and she knew she just had that journalist essence that would grab the story and like defy all odds to print it. And it's fun. But the main thing that sticks out to me is the banter. And that's what I wanted to capture in my story. And even though because they were the couple were divorced and of course towards the end, whatever. But I kind of switched it to my story where they were a serious couple and then he leaves and then he comes back and then it's the banter in the newsroom. So
Fun. So tell us some more about your book. So you've told us a little bit where the family inspiration came from and all that sort of thing. But tell me why was this the book that wanted to come out of you when you sat down at the keyboard? Why was this the one that you had to write?
Okay, well, actually, the funny thing is that I actually started writing it in the 40s, but it just didn't make sense. And then, so I was like, I reel it back to the 20s, and it just made total sense. One, the women's suffrage. Women first got their rights to vote in 1920, but things were not fair. Like I said, the male-dominant profession, journalism, but also men were getting paid far more than women for the same job. So it's like the equality thing. And so that was one of the main issues that made it just work better in the 1920s. And also the prohibition. I learned so much. I grew up in Pennsylvania, a little bit north of Pittsburgh. And I grew up, I mean, that's where my home was. But when I started doing journalism, research on this journalism and research in the era, I realized that Pittsburgh was kind of dark in the 1920s in the fact that it was actually rivaled Chicago for the crime boss and the speakeasies. There was at one time during the 20s, 550 speakeasies in the area. And so it was crazy. In fact, the speakeasy owners and the bootleggers and the crime bosses, they would bribe the police. In fact, there was actually a speakeasy right across the street from the police station. It was, the prohibition was only really valid just on paper because, they would have spray-painted arrows to the speakeasies and there would hardly be any raids and anything like that. So that was like a whole bunch of stories in itself just with the prohibition. But in the early 1920s, there was about 15 papers, like the Tribune, Post-Gazette, and things like that. There was like 12 to 15 just for Pittsburgh alone. And they would have morning editions, afternoon editions, evening editions, weekend editions. And so they were all fighting for Pittsburgh's attention. And then in 1920s comes the radio. So it gets even more aggressive because now they have to beat the radio bulletin, which is hard to do. So they have to come up with something. So that's my heroine, Alyssa. She's the daughter of a publisher and she, and the paper's struggling. And so she takes it upon herself to try to save it. And so she is out trying to win that story, trying to figure out how to put their paper back on top. And my hero, he comes back and he starts working again for the paper. And you find out later that the dad's being a matchmaker. But like the whole thing is about both of them going towards the story. She sees him as competition and he just wants to win her and he just wants to win back her heart. So it's fun with the conflict on that regard and just fun writing that and fun writing the banter. It's fun writing the whole like hatred from the heroine at the beginning and then the gradual softening and then until she realized the hatred was actually buried emotions of her because she's always loved them kind of thing.
Oh, hatred is so much fun to write.
it is it's fun writing the sassy heroine with the quips and things like that and plus the era.
That's so awesome. I was only putting up a meme of like 10 things I hate about you yesterday and all the hilarious banter in that is so great. Well, that sounds fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me, Rachel. If people want to go and buy your book or connect with you more on social media or sign up to your newsletter or whatever, where can they find it all online?
Okay, the book that is releasing December 3rd, it's called Above the Fold, and you can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and things like that. You can find me on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Rachel Scott McDaniel, and you can also contact me through my website, rachelscottmcdaniel.com. And they can sign up for my newsletter there, too, as well.
That's it. Get on it, people. And if you want to follow Story Nerds, you can jump onto our Facebook page, facebook.com/Story Nerds. If you're on Instagram, then you are best off following hashtag Story Nerds. It's too hard to set up a different account, so Hannah and I are just using, you can follow hashtags. So we're just posting the hashtag every time we do a Story Nerds post on our accounts. And that is super fun because we've been doing pictures of all the different movies and stuff that we've been chatting about. So that's been really great. You can find me at Jessica Kate Writing on Instagram and Facebook, and that is also my website. And Hannah, I'm pretty sure she's not here to say it herself. I'm pretty sure it's Hannah Davis Author in most places.
We love you, Hannah.
Type it in, you'll find it. Sorry, Hannah. I forgot to stand. She'll be back soon. She'll be able to tell you herself. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody, and we will see you next episode. Bye.
Bye.